Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bear. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just
Thank
one
God.
Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. And it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. It's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can
get
that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. It brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next is from Brock Miles, and the subject is Prince Ikea. Hello. In late 1996, Prince I.K. came out of nowhere and got a big push by WCW. By February 1997, he beat Steven Regal to win the television title, and pretty soon after this, I.K. slid out of the main card into a mid-carder, then he was hardly being booked at all. What happened with Prince I.K.? Was it because he didn't move the needle? Was there something behind the scenes that went down? Alex writes that he had to be hospitalized in 1997 after I.K. gave a reckless enziguri kick to the back of the head. Did that catch him any heat? And that's some Brock. Yeah, that would catch you heat if you hurt somebody. But Prince I.K. was just like he was talented, but it was just like he didn't have any promo ability or anything to like elevate him beyond the mid-card status. But he was a decent, you know,
here was the problem with him. He was very talented in a place with a lot of great talent. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Next is from Gary Hands, and the subject is Angry Bischoff. First of all, the Billy bashing on the show has to stop. No BML is ever going to convince Conan to drop Billy from the show, so it's honestly becoming quite boring to always hear people pointing out that Billy is a boring snowflake who reports fake stories, gives shit betting tips, and is also a total snowflake who can't handle even the slightest form of criticism because he's a big snowflake. So let's not have that anymore. I'm sure you guys have seen the clip of Eric Bischoff on a very recent episode of 83 Weeks that had Bischoff going off on Meltzer. It was incredible. My question is, though, K100, exactly where did this anger come from? I mean, I know that Meltzer has reported fake stories for a long time, a lot of what Billy is doing today, but Bischoff seems to legitimately hate this guy. Do you guys have any news of what the source of this is?
Do you want to see any of this?
I didn't see any.
I did. I watched the clip.
Well, can you play?
He goes off on Dave just like I did or we did about how the wrestling awards are a joke.
All right.
Right. Well, let me hear it. It's too long of a clip.
Yeah, I'll scroll through it, dear.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
The Observer newsletter and the people that vote within it are a collection of – it's basically a circle jerk.
Okay.
It's a masturbation experience for Dave Meltzer to be sitting in the middle of this small group of nerds like him and making these votes that are not based on anything – closely related to any kind of subjective or objective reality. It's just not. You've got Dave Meltzer who is, he creates this narrative within his little dirt sheet universe and gets like-minded, weak-minded people to all vote and agree with him and his perspective on things. To suggest that Tony Khan was Booker of the Year, Promoter of the Year, when his company damn near imploded last year, as a result of the piss-poor decisions, immature decisions, and nonsensical decisions that Tony Khan has made last year, is a joke. But the reason Dave does it is because of the proximity principle, right? Dave is close to the elite. He's close to the Young Bucks. He can say whatever he wants, and Tony Khan can criticize Ariel Helwani for not being objective. Dave Meltzer, if he is not a paid supporter and promoter in his own way of AEW, probably should be. And now it's all blowing up in his face. So he tries to, you know, balance it out a little bit. But Dave Meltzer it's funny how Dave projects a lot. He really projects a lot. And I've noticed it more and more because of the way he covers recently.
All right, this is good.
Yeah, he's just talking about the, you know, he doesn't like Dave. You know, they've been good because Dave has questioned, you know, Eric's credibility on issues over the years, right. You know? So, especially, you know, where their main source of consternation
I just think, you know,
was.
I just, it's kind of a little bit sad because you shouldn't harbor that type of hate for anybody at this age. You know what right. I'm saying? That shit should either be fixed or let go. I mean, to be, you know, we all love Eric, but he shouldn't be, you know, keeping that inside. You know what I'm saying?
I will say this though. I think their main source of consternation was the reporting that like Eric's what's the word, like Eric's recollection of his dealings with Bret Hart,
right?
And like his version of the stories and Dave's version of the stories are like two completely different things, right? And that's always been like one of the main things that like Eric was talked about, like how Bret was, you know, kind of really not involved much when he came back. He came in and like has kind of like had a laissez-faire attitude and didn't really bring much to the table, like all that stuff. But Dave had like different, because Dave reported stuff that was contrary to what Eric was saying.
Right.
That was their main source. But Eric's point is like, Dave, who are you getting your information from?
Right.
It's like, I'm telling you my thing. I know it's true. You're giving me a different version because you're getting the story from somebody else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that was always a major.
Which is a very valid point.
A very valid point. You know what I'm saying? So that's where they've you remember that, Joe? Like you've heard Eric talk about the Bret Hart.
Yeah. Right? And there was another point of contention was that Dave insisted that Eric offered Bret a contract earlier on in 96, and Eric's always denied it. But then I think Dave showed an actual copy of, you know, one of the pages out of the contract, because either Bret sent it to him or posted it or whatever. And so there's been a disagreement over that too. You know, yeah, Eric always saying Dave's full of shit about it. He thinks he's a grifter and shit. That's what he's always called him.
Right. Okay. So next is from
Mr. Philadelphia, Anthony Hunt.
Anthony Hunt. Subject is MJF versus Roman Reigns. K100 crew. Greetings, crew. Hope all is well with you. Well, with the media scrum, MJF totally buried Meltzer. My question is, with MJF brief title reign, how can he even think he's the GOAT? He does not have the resume Roman Reigns has. You guys need to look into this AEW pay-per-view. They're saying it's the greatest Iron Man match and greatest attendance record for AEW. I'm not hating, but I don't think MJF moves the needle like Moxley did. Do you think AEW is hyping the wrong guy? Never thought I'd defend Reigns, but MJF is out of his mind. So seriously, Anthony Hunt. Bro, MJF is cutting a promo to try and promote himself. You know, he's wrong. He's just cutting promos. That's what the guy does. You know, I don't know. What you got any comment on this, Conan?
What was the question?
Is AEW hyping the wrong guy?
Of course not, bro. He's the most must-see wrestler they have. You want to see what he's going to do next? You want to hear his promo? Nobody else in that company I can think of I feel that way about, except him, you know? And he's always thinking outside of the box and doing creative shit. Does it all hit? No, but he's out there fucking experimenting and doing cool shit. He's the man over there to me.
So, Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and right, I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking, I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate. Just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great. And you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym. You know, it works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
So check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Next is from Brian Dunlap. Here's our guy that has the Dunlap has the booking ideas every week. This is an interesting one. Subject is top dollars booking in WWE. This is
dollar store.
Hello. Listen to this, yeah. Conan. Hello, Conan, Disco, Joe, and Conan's dogs.
Dogs are over.
Okay, is this going to be a running gag now with the dog shit?
Well, your dogs were prominent characters on the show.
Oh, the dogs. All right.
Yeah, your dogs that come through the door, right. Like, it's been a thing lately, you know?
So, well, especially because we're putting the videos up on YouTube now.
Right, so. Yeah, because now we have the video mailbags on YouTube, so everybody's been seeing the dogs live every time. You know, they used to be just audio.
They ain't afraid to do an unannounced run-in.
Right. We all agree Top Dollar showed some promise when he turned heel on Ricochet. Ruthless aggression would be the expression I'd use, but it's quickly dwindled. Top Dollar's momentum has seemingly gone down the tubes in recent weeks. Top Dollar hasn't won a match since January. An issue with his book is that Top Dollar should really be in the singles division instead of mostly doing tag team matches, especially considering they predictably won't be able to compete with the Usos' bloodline storyline. I'm not saying WWE should break up Hit Row, but give Top Dollar some squash match wins over jobbers. Dollar can cut a promo about how he searched his opponent's Twitter history and saw a bunch of trash talk and disrespect shown toward Top Dollar. The front man of Hit Row could use that as part of his character before laying out a butt whooping. What do y'all think? How would you book Top Dollar on WWE at this point in time? I'd put the only thing I would do with him is take those videos he was doing on YouTube and put them on the show. They're pretty good. Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah, that's really not much of a change or anything. It's just something that they should go ahead and do. So, all right. Next is from
Carlos
Hernandez. Subject is finished for WrestleMania main event. Hey, Conan, Disco, and Joe. Hope you're all doing well. I was on Twitter and saw fans talking about how in the recent Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns face-off and Roman Reigns laid the two championships down, the Universal Championship is facing Roman and the WWE Championship is facing Cody. I know what you're thinking. Ugh, who cares? But hear me out. Cody Rhodes keeps talking about wanting to be WWE Champion, not Universal Champion. Roman Reigns has been Universal Champion since August 2020. Could Cody Rhodes end up going over Roman Reigns clean, getting both belts, celebrating the next night of Raw, only to be confronted by Paul Heyman? Heyman can congratulate Cody and put him over verbally, but say that Cody is a WWE champion and not the Universal Champion because of a clause in the WrestleMania match contract. Cody hands the Universal belt to Heyman, but makes a promise that the next time they face off again, the result will be the same. Cody Rhodes walking out with both championships. Is this a good way to protect both guys, even though Roman Reigns gets pinned? Never been a fan of having two champions, but if it means good business and eventual rematch, why not? Sorry for the long email. Be safe.
I don't. Let me just say real quick that, and I don't know if you guys will agree or not. I don't like it because anytime you do something with a contract like that, where the babyface missed something, it makes them look stupid. So I don't.
I mean, like they're going to have a contract for this match, and like it's go. Oh, wait a minute! You only lost the one belt. Not that's like so stupid. Like they wouldn't know what this the contract stipulations were.
Yeah, it would make Cody look like an idiot. It's like right. Piper
make everybody look. Make the company look like an idiot too.
Piper beat Hogan at a Starrcade after he first came back, and everyone thought, "Oh, Piper's the new champion." And we found out the next night. Oh no! That was a non-title match. And it had never been said before. Piper didn't notice it in the contract or something. It was stupid.
Right. Next is from Wilfredo Quinones, and the subject is Bitter World Veterans. Good evening, guys. I was wondering why this generation of pro wrestlers is so disrespectful towards older generation. In other sports, you don't see this kind of behavior from people that paved the way for the sport, business, or whatever you want to call it. Do you remember it back in the day, the talent of your generation had this kind of behavior towards the one before it? Thanks. I would disagree because a lot of guys in the NBA show a little disrespect towards Charles Barkley. You know, because they're – bro, when we're opinion – like, I don't care about the disrespect. Well, we're opinionated, and we're talking about the current product. So it's like, you know, if people get their feelings hurt, I can see them getting mad and commenting back at me. But it doesn't bother me. You know, I don't have any skin in the game in wrestling anymore.
I think there's a lot of fans that, you know, when they see fans being disrespectful, they don't like it. You know, they're talking about
wrestlers, not the fans.
I know.
Like the fans are the worst. I mean, this wrestling just draws bottom of the barrel.
No, but the fans see wrestling. No, they. I'm sorry, I messed it up. I think the fans see the younger wrestlers not being as respectful as we were to our, you know, to the generation because we were very respectful. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these guys don't want to hear the advice, or they don't take advice, or they think that if you give them advice and it isn't positive advice, you're a hater. You're trying to be relevant. You know the shit we hear all the time.
Next is from Luke Smith, our boy from Down Under. The subject is boxing. Hey, boys. A fight I'm looking forward to down under next week is Tim Tszyu versus Tony Harrison for the WBO Super Welterweight title next week. They will fill a 20,000-seat stadium here in Sydney, and I'm keen to see how the son of the great Costa Tszyu goes up against what looks like to be a good opponent. Have you guys seen much about his American opponent, Tony Harrison? That's from Luke Smith from Brisbane, Australia, our boy from down under. No, I haven't, but Luke Smith had turned me Luke Smith sends me a lot of
Costa Tszyu.
So he had sent me Tim Tszyu highlights like a couple years ago. And I was like, why not Costa Tszyu's kid? He looked good and he's getting better. The kid's undefeated. And I guess this is, he's fighting for the WWE Super Welterweight World title. So, like, I'm interested. I mean,
this will be
a good fight. He's a good fighter, you know?
Yeah, I want to see this too because the Harrison guy, he is a good fighter. He had those two fights with Charlo and then he had one with Sergio Garcia. So he's got some experience and he is good. He's not facing some bum. So this will be good.
Yeah. A lot of good fights coming up the next 6-7 weeks. Be very interesting. Boxing's got a good little run coming up here. A lot of good run in the fights coming up. We had a good UFC event this past weekend. We got another one coming up in a couple weeks. It's good stuff. Next is some rain or shine, the subject is fight. I want to start off this question as a burial, and he puts it in capital letters, to the superior one because I've always had his back. He, capital letters again, failed to do his job because I got suspended from the mailbag, but he didn't tell me how long, put that in capital letters too. So I decided to give myself 3 weeks due to respect for the show and one's failure doing his job. My question is for anyone reading this. A couple weeks ago, you decided on JoJo fighting this guest. When is this fight happening? And if it does, are you going to announce him as the producer from K100 or the star of Get My Go?
Well, that was Adrian Thomas, and I agreed that I would take part, and the fans voted. You know, I think it would be like a no-holds-barred thing, but I don't know. Where are we going to do it? Someone come to me with a plan. You know, I was thinking maybe we all get together for live Conan Disco Q&A in Vegas and maybe do something. We could have Jay George and Mitch Valentine have a match. I'll tell you what.
I'm no promoter.
You know.
I think they should get Anthony Thomas.
Not much
Thomas.
Of a producer either.
No, Anthony Thomas. And the both of you guys should fight, have a street fight on that street in front of Joey Janela's house.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, the Philadelphia street fight.
Just have a street fight right there. Would you endorse that, Conan?
Yes, I would.
I don't want to land on any used needles.
Okay. Next is some Narsk Rigigig, and the subject is Goldberg versus Triple H. A photo recently surfaced online of China, The Undertaker, Vince, and Triple H at some type of a toy show back from 99-2000. And apparently this was the night the infamous Triple H and Goldberg showdown happened. Word is that Goldberg really made a total ass out of himself. Conan and Disco, what was the backstage talk about this? Did Goldberg get laughed at? Joe, have you heard anything else about this? And this link is all I could find about it. Also, Joe, read Billy's numbers on the Dirty Sheets YouTube channel. Sean Ross Sapp was having a good laugh at them. All right, whatever. Angel Fire Passion.
Well, here's the story. It was by Wade Keller in 2000. It says, last week, Goldberg cut a promo on Triple H at a licensing show in New York. In an unplanned incident, Goldberg left the WCW booth and approached Triple H at the WWF booth. He went on a swearing tirade against Triple H, apparently for comments Triple H made last year about Goldberg's experience, string of injuries, and potential value to the WWF. I don't read the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember this, Conan?
I heard about it, but I don't remember the particulars.
No. Conan,
what up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get. And after a couple weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com. And that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing. That's results. So Joe's been using it. Feels great. He's nice. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep. Good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show. Yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with the Cover PM Now from Legacy Sports Nutrition or Boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next is from Kyle Storer. The subject is out-of-shape wrestlers and what to do to change that. Long-time listener, first-time submitting a question. Love the show and was really interested in the comments about out-of-shape wrestlers, Evil Uno versus Jon Moxley. Feel the same way about wrestlers being out of shape or not big enough. Why isn't more work put in the gym for people like Evil Uno too big and or Willie Utah too small? Any thoughts? What programs did you guys do to keep in shape during your WCW days and the heavy travel schedule? Thanks, that's from Kyle. Well, we ate a lot of protein and carbs. We worked out, like, every day we'd come into a town, we'd go to the gym and work out. We'd go home, rest, and go work a show. So we're working sometimes in a month, you're working 20 to 25 shows at night, and that included probably 20 to 25 days that you were working out the day of the show. So it's almost like two-a-days, like two workouts in one day if you include your workout and the match. And we were eating healthy, and just that's what you did. And you did it, and you did it kind of like it was kind of like a community effort, because you would be traveling with, like, say, me, Coney, and Ray, and Hoovy would all be traveling together, right? Well, we'd all go eat together, and we'd all order healthy food together, and we'd all, like, go train together, you know, the gym. So it's like you kind of like have it's like a community effort, you know? Coney, any comment on this?
Yeah. You know, the same thing that Disco said. I just particularly like to lift heavy. That's why I was able to get a certain thickness to me. But I like to lift really heavy. And, you know, I never missed any workouts. Neither did Disco, because we understood. This is a cosmetic industry, and you always wanted to look your best under the lights.
Next is from Stevie444. Subject is Tony Khan. And he says, Khan, K-H-triple-A-N.
Okay.
Question mostly for Conan, but I love the whole team's takes too. Conan recently spoke about how there's a problem going on between AAA and AEW, so he went to a TV taping to hash out whatever the problems were, which I get because who really wants to have these feuds these days, apart from Feeney versus Body, Team Feeney over here. What I would like to know is, how does Tony Khan help AAA in any way? I'm not going to act like I'm the number AAA of all time, number one AAA fan of all time, but it seems like you guys have been doing really great business for years and years before AEW even started. So why would you really care about being cool with Tony Khan? AEW doesn't have any stars or draws, so AAA really shouldn't sweat any issues with them. That's just my point of view. I'd love to know yours.
Well, that's why this guy isn't a booker or a promoter. I would say obviously having AAA belts on AEW TV is beneficial for the company to get notoriety. And Conan has access to AEW stars.
Is it really, though?
You don't think so? It's better than not.
Let me be honest with you, okay? If I don't know what the perception is in Mexico of AAA, but I would suggest that, like, foreign, like a place like AAA, like, the Mexican fans would probably look at, like WWE would be the main organization you'd want to partner with, or like do a talent, you know, to talent exchange from. Because I don't know, like I don't know what the culture is like is in Mexico, but I don't know if the Mexican fans look at AEW, you know, as a big deal compared to, like, their perception of the WWE. Is that a thing, Conan?
No, well, they know that WWE is the number one company, but they also know that AEW has stars, and mm-hmm. they're American stars that don't always come to Mexico. So not everybody is a draw, whatever the guy's name was. Not everybody's going to be a draw. What you got to do in today's age is, if there is a draw, you obviously put them on the show, and then you want to make the show as attractive as possible. And the only way to make it attractive is a long storyline, or bring in somebody from outside that you usually don't bring, and put them in a good match with somebody from AAA that everybody wants to see. So those are the things that come into the thought process. And of course he helps us, because if he wanted to, he could make sure Pentagon and Phoenix don't work in AAA, you know, even though they started here and they were, you know, this is where they became famous. They both started out with two different names, and we changed their names. And, you know, there's another person from AAA that's going to be signing there soon, and he could stop all that if he wanted to. So, and you want to work with everybody, bro. We just worked with NWA this Saturday in Mexico City, and Billy Corrigan and the Smashing Pumpkins were part of that whole thing. There were over 20,000 people there, which a lot of people, you know, you want to get your product in as many eyes as possible and doing cool shit like this. So working with NWA, you know, we've worked with Impact. We've worked with fucking MLW. Bro, we work with GCW. I work with everybody. We work with everybody. We don't got no fucking beef. This is all about business, not fucking personal bullshit. Because the thing I always hear from other promoters when I try to be a mediator and go, hey, why don't you work with this guy? Well, what does he bring to the table? And what is in it for me? How about what's in it for the fucking fans, dude? You know, so at the end of the day, I think that's my best answer to your question.
Next is
and by the way, I'm on Team Body. Nothing. Next how much heat does that have with you?
Oh, man. Something is bad by choice. Hey, K100, last night me and my buddies were having a few Irish waters and we came to the conclusion that the worst wrestling match in history was the Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus Undertaker and Kane total shit show from one of the Saudi events. I mean, this match is so bad on so many levels, such as HBK accidentally pulling Kane's mask off while throwing punches. Surely it's done on purpose. It's not as bad as some asshole from England wanting to be a podcast without using podcast equipment while boasting about fake wrestling news stories and giving out shitty betting tips, but do you think there's a chance that the match was done so badly on purpose? I remember reading that these guys were banking at least seven figures each for the match, if this is the best they could come up with. Conan Disco and Joe, what did you think of the DX versus Tiger and Kane? Was him goofing off? And Conan and Disco, have you guys ever been in televised matches and just thought, F this and stop putting effort into it? I have no clue what you're talking about this match. I didn't see it, and I've never not put effort into a performance. Did you hear about this match, Conan? It's whatever.
Yeah, it was very bad, and everybody knows, including the guys involved.
Next is from Beto Garcia, and the subject is True Lies. How's it, Jens? It's your homeboy from the 415 and on Discord, G4150351. Besides the JFK assassination, what conspiracy theory sent you down the deepest rabbit holes? According to some theorists, the government will give you a snippet of truth in every lie they tell you or show you. I've had multiple copies of the book Behold a Pale Horse, a book I first read back in the 90s. Said book is the supposed Bible of every theorist. I've passed along the knowledge of it on the K100 Discord as a freaked out Discord members. If a roundtable is ever done about BAPH, I would love to be on it. Stay righteous, mentally and physically healthy. I think the most interesting conspiracy theory rabbit holes are with Antarctica and the moon.
Mm.
A lot of good, like there's, some people say there's evidence that the moon is hollow, that the moon is way closer to Earth than we're led to believe, because like people with like high digital, high def, like
telescopes,
camera phones are like getting a lot of detailed like shots of the moon, and like it couldn't be like you'd think like how can you get this detailed shot if the thing's like hundreds of thousands of miles away, you know? So that's kind of interesting.
So what is the end game?
The end game? I don't know. I'm just telling you what my like I've been in those rabbit holes. That's a totally different discussion. But the Antarctica stuff, because we talked about that. What was that guy's name? The commander. We talked about this before.
Yes. We did.
Smedley Butler?
No, not Smedley Butler. Was he Commander? The guy that went on the thing and
Perry? No, was it Perry?
Something like that. I forgot what it was. But we talked about. But that's it is interesting that Antarctica is like not a lot of people know a lot about it. You know, so it's kind of like an uncharted territory.
Why don't you tell Joe
yes.
the people about this book, because you recommended it to me and I bought it. I still haven't read it yet.
Yeah, Beto recommended it to me. And I read it's by William Cooper, excuse me. And he was like the original conspiracy theorist guy. Like Alex Jones was heavily inspired by him. He was in the military. He was in Vietnam. He worked with a lot of, you know, documents that, you know, he had to get the secret clearance for and everything. And he basically tells a lot of stories about, you know, the existence of extraterrestrials, what happened with Kennedy, what the plan is as far as the future and, you know, the camps that you hear of or limiting people's food and basically the motivations of the elite and what they're doing to basically fuck everybody over. And the whole book's about that with documents and everything. Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
And this was written in the 90s?
Yes. Yeah. Right. He was actually killed. He was on his radio show, which was like internet radio before, you know, podcasting. And he said that at some point they're going to come up to my house here and shoot me and kill me. And that's what happened. He got shot right outside his garage, although he did pull his gun on some officers and shoot at them and wound one of them, I think. But he was killed by law enforcement.
All right.
The next is another one from James Fogel. I'm not going to read it because he already got suspended for his first email. And he submitted two emails this week. And our goal is one email per week. So I'm not even going to read the second one. He submitted one on Saturday and submitted one on Monday. One per week, James. And I'm not going to just maybe because you didn't know this because this is your first submission, but one email per week. If you do two, you get suspended. So the next one's from the Four Horsemen. The subject is Athletic Blues, K100 Sports. Great talk on K100 Sports. Do you believe the athletes that are having mental issues due to criticism for playing a sport should find another profession? Why are college athletes having mental issues for criticism? You seem to have no stress or mental issues from their classes. Mental issues should never be ignored, but they are. This will sound harsh, but it's the truth. If you're due to participate in something that cause you have mental issues, it's time to shut the F up and do something else. I would agree with that. If something's causing you bad mental health, why are you engaging in it? That seems like a weird flex. What do you think, Conan?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Next is from Yella Hardhat. Subject is Khan on Kingston. A few days ago, Tony Khan did a media call for AW Revolution because why wouldn't he? Good thing that the wrestlers didn't get a chance to do some publicity for a change. And Tony Khan broke the news that Eddie Kingston didn't really quit AW as part of a storyline. That's right, folks. It's now March 2023, and Tony Khan, the Book of the Year, is now still not sure that the fans can tell the difference between reality and fake. Also, I was wondering if we have Joe read out Tony Khan's quote word for word, because this is honestly exactly what the grown man said. Joe, you want to read it? So basically, guys, yeah. What do you think about – okay, and so he's going to ask us about this comments.
So his comment was during his media call, says, yeah, I've talked to Eddie since last night, and I encourage people to stay tuned to pro wrestling, stay tuned to AEW and other forms of pro wrestling. Of course, there's a lot of exciting things happening in the sport in AEW and also in our metaverse of pro wrestling, including New Japan and, of course, tonight the launch of the new Ring of Honor. So a lot of exciting things happening. I have had a chance to talk to Eddie about that, and I'd say stay tuned to the wrestling business, and then you'll see what happens next.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid to admit that. Bro, if you're gonna do a work shoot, you don't go to the media scrum and say, yeah, it's a work. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Why do it in the first place?
I know. Like, this is so silly, right?
Right.
I bet you he regrets that. Like, he probably says, oh, I shouldn't have said that, right? But he's just rambling in these you know, he's like taking rapid fire questions from everybody. Next was JJ Claxton, and the subject is conversation terror. So even we get a suspension.
TikTok. JJ Claxton.
Wait, is JJ Claxton? Is he allowed in the mailbag? I thought he didn't have a permanent suspension.
No, he's never been permanently suspended. No.
Is I the man of many names? JJ Claxton. Disco, as you know, many dirt sheet guys aren't willing to be a guest in K100 because of how much of a troll you're online. Even these virulent parasites tweet harmful words to you. You're willing to talk to them. You've claimed in the podcast that you're open-minded to talk to anyone, but is there someone particular on God's green earth you will never have a conversation with? By the way, Disco, please make another Instagram and please follow the K100 podcast TikTok account. We have the Vicky Guerrero following the page, and Ryback, who should be a guest on the show. Conan, I love you. That's from JJ Claxton.
That was sweet.
No, I'll talk to anybody. I don't have serious shoot beef with anybody that I would never have I would never talk to that guy.
This is how Disco talks. He talks to himself. Nothing.
Right. I would talk to
anybody. Right. What's the big fucking deal?
I'm not. You know, people buried me before.
I can't believe that the gentleman. Oh, I'll never talk to him. You shouldn't talk to him. What? Right.
Well, a lot of people are like that. You know, a lot of the wrestlers are like that. You know. Next is from David Bentz, and the subject is No More Braun Breaker. Dear K100 crew, ever since Triple H brought back Braun Strowman in 2022, I wonder if this could affect Braun Breaker when he's called up to the main roster. WWE tends to not like multiple talents that have the same first or last name. So my question is, do you see Braun Breaker's eventual call-up being reason to ditch the name and finally be the Steiner we all know that he is? Also, Disco, I'd be curious, do fans tend to follow the promoter protocol and bumping into you in Vegas? Stay in good health, K-Dog, and that's David from Sacramento. Yes, the fans do... They do the protocol except with the direct eye contact. A lot of them make direct eye contact. I'm not a fan of that.
Right.
But having the name Braun and Braun Breaker and Braun Strowman is a non-issue. They're spelled different. One's Braun and one's Braun. So I don't know. Kind of silly idea. What are you going
to
comment, Conan?
But I just think that it's a good idea if you're going to bring them to the main roster, because they do have that problem and having people having this same first name, as if that doesn't happen in every fucking other business. But it would be a good time to affix the Steiner name to him, you know. Yeah. Take advantage of it.
I don't understand why they didn't do that to begin with.
I know
these guys are, everybody knows that Scott, that's Rick Steiner's son.
No, right.
Brock Steiner.
Yeah,
that's the guy's name.
They've made
Brock
it clear.
Steiner. Why don't you just call him Brock Steiner?
Yeah, like the Hennig kid, instead of calling him or who was it?
They called him Michael McGillicuddy and Curtis Axel.
You could literally just call this kid Steiner.
Right.
Just one word, Steiner. And right. Everybody knows what that means. So that's a Steiner right there. You know, I don't know. Yeah.